There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Monday. To answer one of the questions from last hour that came up, somebody said, hey, wasn't that a movie out there with the... Because we're talking about this hellscape plan that they, somebody in the Pacific Command said that we would do to slow down China if they were trying to get through the Taiwan Straits and invade China. We'd use a hellscape of drones to slow them down until we could get our allies and ourselves into theater and get set up. Then somebody, we got in that discussion. Do you think if we had militaries in the future that are dominated by unmanned, pick the vehicle, air, sea, land, robots, whatever, that we'd be more likely to get into wars than less likely? Then somebody pointed out there had been some movie about that where they fought their wars with drones and then the people were sacrificed afterwards. But then at least whoever asked that, now I'm getting a text said that movie was the movie that was referenced earlier about computers fighting a war was actually a Star Trek episode. Okay, so I don't know. Y'all get into, I hadn't seen any of it. It seems interesting, but I hadn't seen any of it. And also Pat said, I could go for sitting on my back porch and smoking some drones while I wait on hunting season to open back up. Yeah, but are you going to set yourself up in the Straits of Taiwan? Actually, let's talk. This man likes to wing shoot. State Senator Chris Elliott. I'm thinking you got it for some of these drones. I'm seeing high brass fives and at least a modified, if not a full choke. That's my thought. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a full choke. There's no question about that. But I think you could do it with less than fives. I mean, this isn't a pheasant, but this thing's pretty fragile, or can be. So I still think you get a little 7.5 would probably work.
Really? I mean, it depends on what the props are made of. Yeah. Okay. So you're going low to 7, 7.5, low brass or high brass?
Definitely high brass.
Okay.
It's a velocity.
Okay.
You have to get after it.
Okay. So we've got that. Y'all can chime in on the text line at 343-0106 about that, what your selection of a shotgun shell. And you shooting a 12 for drones, or are you going to shoot a 20? Or you probably shoot like a fancy 28 or something like that?
Yeah, I think you'd start with a 28 and see how you did, and if you needed to go up from there, then sure. But yeah, 28 gauge would be nice.
Okay, I'll be shooting that old 16 gauge A5, and be good to go. So descoped. I asked you off air because when this term came up, I was talking to John Sharp, and he was talking about the what may be done to keep the price from continuing to balloon for the Bayway project, the Bridge and Bayway project. He said the project should be descoped. This was a new word to me. He said in the construction world, you just told me that's a thing. Descoped is a word.
Yeah, it's a thing. I mean, essentially, you talk about the scope of a construction project, right? How much are we doing here? Not just not just the price of something, but what are we trying to accomplish? How big is the project? What all is involved in the scope of the project? And so, if you're trying to roll that back, you are de-scoping the project. You are looking at what is in this scope that we can do without. What can we take out in order to make the project oftentimes more cost effective, or to make the project move a little bit faster or get completed sooner. So we de-scope it.
Okay.
And that's the term anyway. That's the origin.
I would start using that a bunch out there. So let's talk in the de-scoping project or ideas here. Because this project, you and I have been talking about this long enough. I tell folks, I remember when this was an $800 million project, right? And then it went to 1.2 billion. I forget all the jumps. Now it's at 3.5 billion. to heck with it. Why doesn't it go to $6 billion? Obviously, inflation, these things factor in, but what else is in the project that wasn't when it was $800 million that could be pulled out? Because I remember like talking about different things like, well, if you pulled that out, then you lose this federal funding and you have to have this in the Bayway project to get this other funding. What could be removed?
So, first of all, you're right. We've been talking about this forever. I mean, I had hair in a waist when we started talking about this thing a decade ago, and, you know, here we are. And so it's been a long time. And one of the first things that I started work on when I got elected to the Baldwin County Commission was being put on the design selection committee for the Mobile River Bridge and I-10 Bayway project. But to that point, it was called just the Mobile River Bridge at that time. And so we were just talking about the bridge itself and what that was going to look like, what path it was going to take, where it was going to connect on either side and what those connections were going to look like. And so that was the first jump in price, was this estimate of, you know, $800 million or so. And then as we started, as ALDOT started working through the design process, you got a bump in price up above $1 billion, probably $1.3 billion or so, if my memory serves me correctly.
I think that's right.
And then as we went through, you'll remember these terms, the EIS, the draft EIS, and then the EIS, and then the ROD, the Record of Decision. So you had this environmental impact statement, and then you had the Record of Decision. And we talked about some of this in John Sharp's story that he wrote over the weekend. But that's the federal process to get all of this stuff approved. And it was incredibly laborious, right? I mean, it started probably 25 years ago or more. And Congressman Byrne at the time was just insistent that we get to the point where we have this Record of Decision. And so in order to do that, ALDOT was put in a place where it said yes to a lot of things that I think were probably not, you know, not necessary, right? Mm-hmm. We started talking about, you remember the conversation started talking about pedestrian paths.
Yeah, the bike lanes. Yeah, that's what I was.
All kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
And then we started talking about bridge height, that, you know, that was where I think about 5 years ago, the governor and I kind of broke up over a conversation about how did we get here, you know, bridge height wise. And the conversation was, well, it was the biggest cruise ship, you know, that was made. And so we had to have the biggest cruise ship ever get underneath the bridge. And I started talking about descoping and how we got here 5 years ago. And so following that, the USDOT folks said, oh, by the way, you've got to elevate your entire bayway.
That's right.
We got to tear down and start over and elevate the whole bayway. And it was like, whoa, hold on. Now this thing, you know, now we added another billion onto it just because of scope creep.
But
right?
you can't disconnect those two, right? Is that, that's one, and I maybe come back to that, but that's one of those things that as you add on, do you not get one without the other, you know?
So that's what has been probably, you know, said for the last 5 or 6 years is, that's what's in the EIS. We had to have that to get into the, have it, you know, to get it in the EIS and get it in the Record of Decision. And Councilman Jack Burrell, who's the president of the Eastern Shore, excuse me, chairman of the Eastern Shore MPO, brought this up in John Sharp's article. And he's right, and I agree with him. In order to descope this project, you'd have to go back into that environmental impact statement, and you'd have to get the feds to sign off on something less. But here's where, you know, where I am on this. Look, I want this project done. I've been working on this project and trying to figure out how to fund this project, just like a lot of other elected officials in South Alabama have, and in Montgomery for a long time. We're not there. People are starting to call this thing the unicorn project.
Mm-hmm.
It has taken forever, and there are serious doubts about whether or not this is all going to fall into place. I want it to. I want ALDOT to get a huge mega grant. I want ALDOT to get a bridge grant. I want ALDOT revenue study on the tolling for the bridge that is limited for locals and you know, frequent users, I should say. I want that study to say that we can, you know, that it's going to justify 49% of the project cost in TIFIA loans. I hope all that works out. But, John, I'm also looking at this going, we don't have a great track record at everything working out on this project just perfectly.
Right. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, I think we need to start talking about, okay, at some point we got to talk about, can we afford this if some of these pieces start falling through, because everything doesn't always work out perfectly.
Okay. Here's one of my fears, and they are a long list when it comes to this project, that we put enough money into it, just enough money into it that we can't stop it. You talk about going back and saying, who wants to go back and do another environmental? Well, that's uncomfortable, but maybe that's the right thing to do here, to try to look at this differently. But then we get to a certain point. ALDOT ran through so much money, they put the 60-day stop on it. I just wonder when there's enough money that's been put in it, taxpayer dollars put in it, that everybody goes, well, we can't turn around and do it differently now, you know, because we'll have wasted that money, even though we're now signing on for something we can't afford in the future.
And that was the comments that I got 5 years ago, right, when I started talking about bridge height and really started asking these questions initially was, you know, hey, why are we here? Well, it's in the EIS, we can't touch it.
Yep.
Well, why are we doing this? Well, it's in the EIS, we can't touch it. And ALDOT's made the conversations made the comments over the years. Look, we want to get to the point where money's the only problem. We want to get through this regulatory process where money's the only problem. We have approved EIS, a record of decision, and a plan moving forward. Well, we're there.
And it's a big problem. And the money's a big problem.
Exactly. And we've been there for 5 years. And so we need to start having, in my opinion, a real honest conversation with the folks here in South Alabama. You know, look, the state may not be able to afford this. You know, the state put out a press release, I guess it was last week, with comments from Mayor Stimson and Councilman Burrell, the MPO chairs, that basically said this project is double ALDOT's annual budget. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that should have gotten everybody's attention because it's an accurate statement. And you have to start thinking, okay, if it's that big, how does the state of Alabama afford this project? Can we afford this project? And the answer is yes, if all of those pieces come into place on the federal level, right? You get the build grant, you get the a bridge grant, you get the mega grant, and you get the huge TIFIA loan.
But that's still, that TIFIA is still a loan, though. The others are grants, but TIFIA is still a loan. You got to pay it back.
It's a loan, and you have to do, you know, the same type of process you go through with your house, right? Mm-hmm. You get a mortgage. Well, they may loan you $500,000 on that house because it's worth $500,000, but you still have to justify that you can pay it back.
Right.
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 And so the state has to do the same thing. And then on top of that, there's one other piece we're leaving out, and that is the state's contribution to this project, which right now, you know, is advertised at around $250 million, which would likely need to fluctuate. And the point is, you know, just how much room is there? And so I think, you know, if we're going to have an honest conversation about moving this forward, we need to go through the federal process. We do. And ALDOT's doing that, and good for them. They've gotten this TIFIA amount eligible from mid-30s to up to this 49%. That's good. Again, the revenue study's got to justify that. And then we got these other grant opportunities. Let's go through that process. But if everything doesn't fall into place, we are going to have to figure out how to solve at least a portion of this project and this problem that we have with the means that we have as a state.
And
that's going to likely involve de-scoping.
Yeah, but there's no possibility for saying, hey, we like the project as laid out. We don't have the money right now. We're going to pay as you go this thing.
Well, you know,
we're going to do this, and when we got the money, then we'll add the rest of it.
Yeah. I think it's fair, and I think my friends at ALDOT and everyone else would agree, it is beyond the state's ability to pay for this project without significant federal help. And so if we just say, hey, we're going to pay for it over time, it's too big a project. It's too much money. And ALDOT's press release talking about how many times, you know, the budget, the annual budget it was, it just doesn't work. And so I think then we need to start having honest conversations about how do we really fix this problem? Because we haven't really moved the needle in a decade. And I understand it's complicated, but we haven't solved this problem for people in over a decade that I've been involved in it. And we're going to have to start trying to figure out how do we get something done. It may not be the big, bad, everything. And oh, by the way, the feds are going to have to understand this becomes zero sum. If you hold our feet to the fire on this and say, we must do this, we must elevate and widen Bayway, we must do this entire project as it currently is, then and you're not providing the help that we have to have, then it doesn't get done.
Yeah, you're essentially, exactly, you're saying no. as the feds. If you say this, what you're saying is a fancy way of saying, no, you can't, we're not going to, this is not going to be done.
That's exactly right. And a lot of that is on the federal, is on the feds, right? It's on USDOT to look at this project and say, you know, we've caused a good bit of this scope creep again. We've caused this by our rules. And is it a better project? Yes. Is it bigger, badder, wider? Yes. All of those things are true. It just turns into something that it's very hard for the state to afford. And so we have to figure out another way. And they would have to, you know, I think they'd have to be partners in that, obviously. If they don't approve it, it doesn't work.
Yeah, and I guess to go back, we have so many texts here, but John had said, texted earlier, why can't we just add lanes to the existing bayway? This goes back into what we're talking about. When people have, over time, and listen, they don't do this for a living or they're not elected official, I don't expect them to know, but that's what we're talking about. When we go, well, you could just do this, but you can't, because unless, if you want to do one thing, then you, according to the feds, you have to do all these other things.
And he's right. That's a good question to ask. Why can't we just do this? Well, the short answer is you can. You just have to get the Fed's approval. And so far, they've not given that approval. And so what we did 5-6 years ago was put together something we thought they'd say yes to, which they have. The problem is it's really expensive.
Yeah, it is really expensive. And the amount of money, somebody had asked me the amount of money spent, you know, because I've been saying that ALDOT went through. I understand there's a bunch of things that aren't concrete and rebar, but they spent a good bit of money already. Stop this thing, and there's nothing for anybody to look at here, right? This texture said, how much money has spent, lost the text, but how much money has been spent so far?
Yeah, we're several hundred million dollars into this project so far. And I don't know if that's really 200 or 300, but I think it's probably somewhere between the two.
Okay. There's a number, right? That's what I started off talking about. There is a number where people will say, well, to heck with it. We've already spent this much. We can't stop now. That's, I mean, I've just seen this happen in government too much.
Well, and that's fair. And I think that's what ALDOT's, you know, stated goal was with this 60-day pause, was we need to determine our path forward here. We are working on this thing like we're going to build it, but we don't have a high level of confidence in this is all going to work, you know? And we talk about things, we talk about the capital stack is what they call it. And it's, those are your different funding pieces, right? Here's some state money. Here's your TIFIA paid back by tolls. Here's your bridge grant. Here's your mega grant. Okay. There's your capital stack. But so many of those things, TIFIA, uncertain, don't know yet. Mega, uncertain, have applied before, haven't gotten it so far, applying again. Maybe it'll be different this time. Same thing with bridge. So there are these huge pieces of the capital stack that are still kind of question marks. And to their credit, ALDOT is saying, okay, we did the 60-day pause thing. We got to, you know, I think they're working through how this capital stack works out. I'm just, I guess what I was talking to John Sharp about was, I'm just looking at our history of success on some of these things, and I'm wondering, what happens if this, you know, one of these little pieces doesn't work out, and those, that's not a good answer for the current scope of this project.
Very good. Senator, we'll hopefully get you back on the show soon to talk about this and a couple other subjects, because do y'all actually do anything when you're off session? Is there anything going on?
it's like being outside of football season. You train for the season. So we're getting ready with other legislation, ready to go again.
Okay. I'll get you back on soon. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there he goes, State Senator Chris Elliott. We're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 128, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. This segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's my friend Trey. Trey Bennett with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. 16 years plus, getting rid of junk from all kind of places. Inside houses, inside storage units, inside businesses, shops, also outside. So you got big stuff you need to move as well. You just bought a property and there's some accessories you're not into, like the full play set there. Not just a swing set, like the one that has the slide and the lookout post and all that stuff I built back in the old days. One of those, or a giant trampoline, or a storage building, or above ground pool, something like that. You're like, how are we going to get this gone? My man Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK can help you on that as well. Hey, you got junk, you want it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I love the fact that you get a real appointment from them as well. None of that spectrum of time, you know, where you're supposed to sit home for a whole day and miss work or whatever to wait for somebody to show up. When you go online or get on the phone to make that appointment, they'll find a day that works for you, a time that works for you. They set the appointment. They show up. You're there. You pointed the junk. You went gone. They quote your price on the spot. You say yes to get to work right then and get it done. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You can call them. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or go to the website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, but check them out. My man Trey, get that appointment set maybe today. Sometimes they can get you in the same day. But find a time that works for you. All right, get to these texts. And also, you know, other cities have, like, wasn't it Houston had like a tiger that was on the loose they were looking for like 3 or 4 days before they caught it? We don't have that kind of story, but I did see this at Lanyap, that on the parkway on the DIP, there was a goat on the loose. It's a little better than a tiger. We'll get to that coming up.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you along. Good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and check out a full week to work with new inventory. Hey, man.
Hey, bud. Yeah, and, you know, talking about inventory, we've got a great inventory right now, but we've been really busy. We've been selling a lot of cars. And one thing that tells us, and most people don't probably realize this, when we're really busy and we're selling a lot of cars, that means these finance companies have turned the screws or loosened up a little bit, is what we say, which means that sometimes some things that wouldn't pass through are passing through because they're looking for more business. So now's the time, now's the opportunity to come out and take advantage of it.
It's interesting how that pendulum swings, right? They tighten things down with those rates, and then they tighten them down to the point that, well, they're not getting as much business. Now it's time to swing it back the other way.
Exactly. These finance companies and banks and credit unions, they have a portfolio just like anybody's got a retirement portfolio, and they have to make sure that they pay attention to what it's doing. So if things are starting to go the wrong way, they'll twist the screws, and that's exactly what we call it, and that's what they call it, and it loosens things up to where they can get some more money on their portfolio. So now's the time to come see us.
All right, and inventory-wise, people want to check that out. Tell them how to do it in person and online.
Well, if you want to come see us in person, we're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can go to the website. It's lcmmotorcars.com. There should be pictures of pretty much everything on there. We think we're caught up. Or just give us a call, 251-375-0068. If you want to FaceTime with us or have us send you some pictures or whatnot via text, just let us know. Whatever we need to do, we'll take care of you.
David, thank you, man. We'll talk again soon.
All right, buddy. Talk to you Friday. Have a
good right,
day.
All right, there he goes. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Get a couple of these texts here. T-Bone, maybe I missed it. T-Bone said, news reported that warnings have impacted cigarette usage. I would suggest the exorbitant taxes have had a greater impact. Yeah, right. Exorbitant price. You know, it's a long-running thing, T-Bone. I've talked about that. Yeah, they'll say, well, we're raising taxes on cigarettes to be a disincentive, right? Well, if they wanted to completely make a disincentive, they'd make it like $80 a pack. But, of course, that would cut into their revenue, so they would never go that high. It would just be. So I have to come back to that. I don't know what news report. I must have missed it. Maybe it's something that ran while I was doing something during the break. Let's see. Daryl says, Sean, my daughter-in-law teaches freshman English. Her first thing she has her new class do is write a 3-paragraph paper on current events. Her takeaway is these people at this age have no idea how to write even a simple sentence, no idea how to punctuate or spell. She came from public school system at the 7th grade level where most of these people would have failed. What's the problem? Cell phone with autocorrect and grammar correct. So is technology really that good? Just a thought. Listen, Daryl, I wish I could say I was above the fray, but I caught myself trying to spell something the other day. And I mean, I'm not the world's best. I'm not, you know, I don't have an Indian subcontinent last name, but I'm a pretty good speller growing up. That was something that came fairly naturally to me. And that part of my brain has weakened. I was sitting there going, how do I spell this? It took me a second, and I realized so much of the autocorrect and all that has, yeah, that absolutely happens, for sure. Let's see. Oh, back to the shooting drones question. Joel in Somerdale must be one heck of a wing shot here. 12-gauge double old, oh, okay, I see what it did. It translated your voice. You said 12-gauge double op buckshot. You should see what it looks like on the text. Double old buckshot. You pretty good shot there, Joel. And like you're shooting the, I got to have more pellets. I'm a pretty good wing shot, but I have to have more pellets. I was thinking about shooting with fives. State Senator Chris Elliott thinks 7.5, both of them being high brass. I just think high brass fives. Let's see. This texture says, eliminate Aldott. Oh, he said, why don't they hire, for that matter, why do they not hire Florida to do it for them? I guess you're talking about the bridge project. And for that matter, why not hire Mississippi to build the rest of the Alabama roads? Put in 25% graft and corruption fee to pay off these politicians. We would have good roads and fat politicians. Eliminate Aldott. This texture, unnamed texture, says, I like this fella, but he's talking about building the river span and no bayway, so $1 billion to move the queue 3 miles. Stop the bleeding. Yeah, what can you remove from it? That's the problem, right? And if you can't, what was the term he used? I'm going to try to de-scope. If you can't de-scope the project, and that's been like a frustration because I've been in this conversation a decade, right? So people say, well, just eliminate the so-and-so, and I have to go back and go, well, no, actually, if you want to have this part of the federal funding, you have to do X, Y, and Z, or you have to go back and do a full, you know, a restart. But maybe we're at a part, you know, where we haven't spent, Lord knows it's a bunch of money, but we hadn't spent enough that it's prohibitive to go back and do it again, look at it a different way. I don't know. But I don't know how, I mean, $3.5 billion, which I keep getting proven correct on this. I'll take what the new proposal is, $3.5 billion for this project. I'm going to call it $5 billion. And I wonder if I'm not correct at some point, right? Or higher. How do we do this? Let's see. This texture says, it's Marty. Said, you and I will probably be dead by the time it all happens. I think so, Marty. I do. It took us an hour and 45. So we were north of Locksley yesterday for a Father's Day dinner thing. And it took us to get back to Mobile, out kind of near the University of South Alabama. Hour 45, I think, yesterday, which was interesting to watch. I made this commentary I was in the truck with my mother and my son. And I said, watch this. We're all acting like a school of fish. You've watched this, right? Bait fish. Even when there's not a predator around, the school spooks itself, right? You've seen this, like all of a sudden the shoal of bait fish will swarm one way or another. They spook themselves. We were doing that yesterday because the second you saw brake lights and everybody said, okay, well, I need to get in the right-hand lane heading westbound on 10 because I need to have the option to be able to get off at Spanish Fort and go to the causeway. But then that started slowing down. So then people moved back in the left lane. I finally said, the heck with it. I think they're moving pretty quickly. Let's go Bayway. And so we go Bayway and everything's good until, you know, they're about John's Bend and around John's Bend, stuff starts slowing down. Then everybody then flinches and gets in the right lane, piles into the right lane because we all want to have the ability to get off at the halfway exit on the causeway. We're all like, there wasn't a wreck, but we were all spooking each other because nobody wanted to sit there forever. And therefore, we ended up sitting there forever. Got off, did the causeway thing, like a school of fish spooking itself on the causeway as well. Same deal going on there. And then get up by the to turn in to go to the Bankhead, said to heck with that, went over the Africatown Bridge and that way. But yeah, there's even when there's not a wreck, I don't know how it, I don't, Marty, I think you're right. I don't know that we'll ever get it done, but it's, I don't travel the Bayway very often. So it's not a, you know, it's once a month, maybe once every month and a half. But it was, I knew it was going to be bad yesterday and it lived up to it. He goes on to say, Sean, they want to blow up the tunnels. That's where this is heading. Can't do that until they have alternate route across the bay. The tunnels, as you're aware, are the biggest restriction, the amount of cargo they can offload in and out of the Port of Alabama. Me personally, I think the Fed should fund all of it 100%. Oh, I think that would be great too, Marty. Let's let other state taxpayers, I agree with you. I'm not saying this like a smart aleck. I would like other states and their taxpayers to pay for our bridge and Bayway. Like we've paid in federal taxes to them. Let's see. Jay says, Sean, I remember moving here in 1999, and there was a full-page story on the new Bayway. They had just completed or in the process of the environmental studies, and as of today, I can't see any evidence of them starting to build a bridge. Meanwhile, the cost of construction has gone up exponentially. He said the story was in the Press Register, front page. I remember that, Jay. Let's see. And then the GOAT. Let's get to this, and not just the greatest of all time, but you can see more over at landyatmobile.com. But it says here in Brady Petrie's story, a kid was found walking alone down Dolphin Island Parkway on Thursday, but it wasn't a human kind of child. It was a two-year-old goat that had strayed from home. They said as of Friday morning, so they said they're looking for the goat as of Thursday. Then as of Friday morning, the owner of the goat had yet to be located. However, thanks to social media, the goat said the goat did meet back with its family here. What did it say? No, I'm sorry. As of Friday morning, Bryant said the owner of the goat had yet to be located. However, thanks to social media, Bryant said his department had a few leads they're checking out to reunite the kid with its owner. While kid is behind bars for time being, the goat's apprehension adds to the animal shelter already bursting at the seam with strays. So if you're looking for a goat, they found one down on the parkway. Just thought we'd let you know. All right. Coming right back, it's time for a checkup. Steve Dolan from Alta Point joins me.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back to Midday Mobile and time for a checkup. And great to welcome VP of Administrative Services for Alta Point Health, Steve Dolan, joining us. Good to see you.
Nice to be here, Sean. Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, and I want to talk about something new here, a significant development in the mental health care world. Alabama, our state, designated as a demonstration state for certified community behavioral health clinics. Seems like a big word. It's got its own acronym. What is that?
The acronym, is CCBHC, and it's a specially designated mental health clinic that provides a comprehensive array of mental health and substance use services. The concept is based upon whole person care. It is equipped with and comes with an enhanced rate that was part of the application. So we had to do a cost report for all the outpatient facilities that we had. And the funding comes through CMS, through the Medicaid agency.
So educate me, because this is holistic or the full patient. How is that different? How is it done elsewhere?
Currently the system that we're under right now for outpatient services is a fee-for-service system. And okay. It may sound cliche. There's not enough funding for mental health, and this is why. Under this model, the history of this thing came about with some research that was done by the National Institute of Health on the chronically mentally ill and the care that they deliver or receive. And those studies found that, those patients die 25 years sooner than the average person. And so in 2014, bipartisan legislation was passed protecting access to the Medicare Act. And as part of that, they created an area for the creation of the CCBHC. And then in 2017, the first 8 states of a demonstration came out, and they've been operating that way for up until now. In 2023, the SAMHSA, which is Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration, provided some grants to states. 15 states were awarded. Alabama was one of them.
Okay.
And the purpose is to plan for this transformative nature of this new mental health system that was going to be formed. And so for the last year and a half, we've been working with the State Department along with a lot of consultants to go through that, because there's a lot to it, a lot of infrastructure, a lot of technology that has to be used. A lot of different requirements, guidance that comes down from the Fed. And it's in preparation for applying for the demonstration grant side of it. And then so the Alabama Department of Mental Health worked towards that, submitted the application. Of course, this month we were awarded 1 of 10 out of 23 states that had applied. So it's really a new day for mental health in the state of Alabama and very much needed.
And tell me about that, because outcomes, right? Because you talk about the 25 years sooner dying for these patients in right. the past. Is there a measurable outcome? Like with this new system, we have these benefits.
Yes. Actually, you know, that was the reason for the legislation and the formation of this thing was to try to bend that curve.
Okay.
So not only do we provide mental health and substance use services, but we provide a lot of wraparound services as well.
Okay, like so, the wraparound services.
Wraparound service would be we would follow Sean.
Okay.
You go to your mental health visit. We right. follow you. We test you and screen you for primary care. So do you have diabetes? Do you have hypertension?
Okay.
Any of those things. We're going to make sure that we provide you a care manager or a care coordinator to follow you, not only to make sure that you go to your mental health visits, but that you follow through and go to your diabetes appointment, that you know, your cardiologist, etc.
So, yeah, Steve, so instead of these being separate, like here's this, you know, physical, yeah, here's the, here, I'm going to the diabetes doctor, and then I have another appointment, they're all under one umbrella. Right.
Well, the coordination is.
Yeah.
Yeah, the care coordination is. We won't provide all those services.
You're making sure that the—
Right. If you don't have that resource, we're going to make sure you get that resource. And we're going to follow through to make sure you made it to the appointment. Even the medications that you get prescribed, we're going to make sure you pick them up. And okay. so you can see the nature.
Because you hear stories, people that don't,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, they don't pick up.
You can see the nature of this. And we're really trying to bend that 25 years back to where these people have a normal life. And in the long run, this actually will save the state, even though we're getting an enhanced rate to hire additional people and offer all these other services. It will actually save the state in the long run because these individuals kind of use the EDs, ERs, hospital mm-hmm. systems as their primary care physician. You know, a staggering statistic is those that have chronic mental illness, 40% of them don't even go to a primary care physician. So you can imagine if you never go to that mm-hmm. doctor, you know, you're going to die sooner for sure.
Yeah, and then when you go into one, you walk into an ER, you're at a point where right. it costs so much because you didn't do the preventative.
You didn't do the preventive, and that's what we're all about.
So with the Ultra Point, I mean, is this going to be just with y'all or other providers in the area? How's—
Well, this is the Department of Mental Health, and it's a community mental health center initiative.
Okay.
There's 19 community mental health centers in the state of Alabama. There's only two in year one. So when they wrote this demonstration application, Alabama did, they tiered it up. So the first year, there's two mental health centers okay. that are going to be part of it. Second year, there's going to be three. Third year, there's going to be four. And so it kind of is going to go that way. But Alta Point is one, and we serve three counties down here in the south, Mobile, Baldwin, and Washington County. And then we have four in the north, just above Montgomery. It's Clay, Coosa, Randolph, and Talladega counties. All of those will be under the auspice of this model. And then there's another community mental health center in the Huntsville area called Wellstone that's also a part of it, year one.
Now, you talked also about the growth here, right? So is that growth in the actual, like, physical body? Tell me, you're hiring more people or?
Oh, yeah. We will hire way more people. The array of services that we're going to provide, you know, we're going to have 24/7 crisis service. We're going to provide you with a care coordinator. Sean, last year we served close to 40,000 people.
Wow.
In seven counties. And if you think about it, everybody that walks through our door is going to get a care coordinator. So you can imagine
the
explosive nature of the staff that we're going to have. But it'll cross all planes. It'll be primary care. It'll be mental health. It'll be substance use. It'll be administrative. We are going okay. to hire—
Because there could be somebody coming in. Yeah, because you're saying that, because there could be somebody coming to work for you that's not by trade a mental health professional, they're an administrative person or
correct.
Those kind of jobs as
correct.
Well.
Correct. Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of people came to work for us, and we've got a great culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Turk's Lessons has been there 25 years. It's just a great place to work. Everybody cares about each other. But people leave because we don't have a comparable wage that we can give people to compete for what they can get somewhere else. This is going to put us on the same playing field for that.
This is good. Let's talk about money here as we close out. I know it's not polite, but you opened it with it. Are we funding mental health care where we need to be with this, something like this? Is this
in the outpatient arena? We are.
It is.
Okay.
This is going to be a
game changer for us.
Okay.
It will be a game changer, transformative for the mental health system in the state of Alabama. Where we're not funded is in the primary, is not in the primary, but it's in the inpatient side of the house. You know, we, Alta Point has two hospitals. We have a children's hospital and an adult hospital. Hospitals are excluded from this initiative. And so, you know, 95% of the patients that we take in over at our East Point Hospital, which is our adult side, come through the probate court. And if they're not coming from probate court, they're coming from the jail. There is zero funding for that. And so we were hoping for the gaming legislation to pass because we had been talking with the legislators at the state, and there were appropriations that were going to be made to help fund that, because it's not only an Alta Point issue. It's all these med-surg hospitals that have psych beds available, and these people get stuck there because the Department of Mental Health can't take them on, either through Bryce or there's no place in the community to take them. So they have to eat that cost. The funds were going to offset that. So the gaming bill didn't pass, but we're going to continue to move forward with that and hit our legislators up to see if we can't find some funding for it.
Remember, y'all, when I tell you what happens in Montgomery is important and all parts of it, it truly is.
That's right.
Well, best of luck with this, Steve, and we'll check back soon to see how the update is.
Okay. I appreciate it, Sean. Thank you.
VP of Administrative Services at Alta Point Health, Steve Dolan, our guest right here on Time for a Checkup.